Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, wherever you are on our most lovely planet. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Welcome to Being Here.
Yeah.
You ready for today's episode?
I am so ready for today's episode.
It is rejuvenation.
That's what I could use.
All right. So today we will talk about the keys to rejuvenation.
Oh.
And chances are we'll experience it too.
Oh, that's good.
Doesn't that sound good?
That sounds delightful.
But what it'll take is listening.
Listening?
Listening.
What do you mean by listening?
Well, if I'm listening to you, or you're listening to me, or in the case of the folks out there in
the
listening land,
the listeners, if they're
listening to us and to our callers, then no two things can occupy the same person's mind at the same time. You can either hear the information coming in, or you can be having a conversation with yourself about how tired you are.
Or whether you agree with what the person's saying.
Or what you need to get done.
Or whether you disagree with what they're saying.
What else there might be is, no, that can't be right. Or
I already know this.
That sounds like.
In other words, they're saying?
Yes.
I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Zen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that?
Like that.
All right.
Yes. So, what else?
What else?
What are we doing here?
I don't know. You're going to turn your computer screen so I can see what it says a little. Rejuvenation. It says life is erosive and it can wear you down.
The challenge is how to find your way back to vitality. Ready to revive, revitalize, and rejuvenate. Here we are in Being Here, where we can access and live a vital life.
Okay.
You know what really erodes life?
Disagreeing with it, for one thing.
Yes.
The way it's showing up.
Mm-hmm. Because anything you disagree with, you get stuck with. So if there's some part of your life you don't want and you push against it, disagree with it, talk to yourself about it, you're stuck. And you actually keep that part of your life in place and dominating your life. First principle of instantaneous transformation.
Anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and you take it to bed with you at night and it wakes you up and talks with you about what you don't like.
Yeah, and then you don't sleep very well either. Second principle, you can only be exactly as you are.
In any given moment of your life. Like right now, in this moment of your life, you could only be listening to this radio show because you are.
Third principle, anything you see without judging completes itself.
It's that simple. Actually, it's so simple it's hard to understand.
Well, for instance, I'm just a tad tired today. We are pre-recording this episode because we are going to be out of town visiting my family for the holidays when this airs. So it's not noon our time. It's a little later in the day, and I'm a little bit tired now. If I judge that or think it should be different, I'm actually compounding that. It becomes a complaint rather than just a simple noticing, like looking out the window and seeing whether or not it's light outside or dark outside. I may have a preference for light when it's dark or dark when it's light, but the fact is we have exactly the amount of light out our windows as we do, nothing more, nothing less. And anything you see without judging it,
it
completes itself.
It completes itself. It releases you to be. See, anything that you allow to be the way it is allows you to be. Anything you resist pushes against you, keeps you engaged, doesn't allow you to have a life. And most of us are so busy resisting those things in life that we don't prefer that we're stuck with them. That's an interesting thing because life shows up, as Ariel said, shows up the way it does, and then you have preferences, and life very rarely shows up meeting your preferences.
Absolutely. You know, I think the other thing too is that sometimes we get busy in our days, and then we have this expectation that a better us would never get tired or need extra sleep. And you know, there are those things, those general ideas that you hear everywhere. They're a little annoying if you resist them. One of the access ways to rejuvenation is to get enough sleep, is to eat well, and to exercise.
You know, see, you say get enough sleep. And I think when I was a kid, I used to resist going to sleep because I thought I'd miss something.
Yeah.
Like sleep was a failure that you had to sleep.
Yes.
Rather than it's an opportunity for your body to regenerate itself.
So I have a feeling a lot of you out there who are listening don't actually get the amount of sleep your body craves because somewhere in there you think it's a failing or a lesser version of you to actually go to bed, shut your eyes, and get some sleep.
One of my favorite lines from one of the Bourne novels, I think it was The Bourne Identity, was where he said that sleep was a weapon.
Yes, that if you could really relax and you could
put yourself to sleep whenever you had the chance to sleep, that rejuvenated your body so you were more able to
meet whatever was coming in a timely way.
There you go.
All right, let's take our first caller, shall we? Ephraim, what can we do for you today, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Ariel and Chaya. I'm calling from New York City in my office.
Welcome to the show.
It's a nice day in New York City.
It's pretty nice. It's not quite as blue skies as it's been, but it's nice, perfect temperature.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was thinking about the theme of vitality and sort of appreciating what makes my life, what brings my life vitality. And it occurred to me that one thing is that I'm spending less time thinking about what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm thinking less about what the meaning of life is, things that I used to think about.
So you're not thinking about the meaning of life?
Well, at some point when I found you guys, I realized that the meaning of life is to live, if there is a meaning.
That's very good. I like that.
And So if I'm wondering what I'm supposed to be doing, I can just look in front of me and get involved in what I'm doing.
Right.
That sounds good.
That sounds very good. Did you have a question for us today?
I had a question about going back to something you guys had brought up with me in the past, which was... I'm not sure if you remember, but occasionally when you've seen me hanging out with my daughter, you told me that I had I was putting a little something extra into it, like I was demonstrating parenting, or just that I was sort of, I don't know if you didn't use the word showing off, but like doing something extra.
So are you saying that when you're with your daughter, you're with her, but when you're with her in front of other people, you add the extra element of showing them that you're a good parent?
Yeah, that's sort of what you said, yeah.
And well, did we say it, or is it something that you're noticing? Because I'm just curious about that. Whether we said it or not is not really relevant. What's relevant is whether or not you find that to be accurate.
Yeah, I do. I have noticed it more after you said that, and it does. Yeah, it's just great to have the knowledge of it to see, you know, so I can be aware of when I do it. But I was just thinking in terms of of living with vitality, I had a thought that I like to demonstrate, I like to show people that life doesn't have to be serious.
You're going to have to stop being so freaking serious.
Yeah, you know, when this airs, I help you listen to it.
Yeah, because you're seriously pondering the right questions or how to say it right rather than just speak.
That there is such a hesitation between your words, it's a little challenge to listen to you to get to the end of your sentence because you're editing yourself with virtually every word.
Mm-hmm. And even your question about how you parent is an editing question. Trying to do it right, trying to be the right kind of parent, trying to say it right, trying to look good for others. Or
even trying to show your daughter how to live with vitality or anybody else. That's not about an anthropological approach. An anthropologist is a person who looks at how a culture is put together simply to see how the culture is put together.
Not to turn it into a better system of behavior. Not to turn it into a better way of relating. See, better and worse are in the realm of change. Transformation is not about self-improvement. It is about noticing. It is about self-awareness. And awareness, in our definition, is a non-judgmental seeing of the way you're being. It's not about making you better. And you've got better and worse wrapped up in there, and transformation and change are not the same, and they're not mixable. They're not, you know, you shake them up together. They don't homogenize. They separate real quick. Transformation happens outside of time. Change takes place over time. So that there's no real melding of the two.
I'm not quite sure why you have attention on showing other people how you're living rather than living.
Well, I think what you said was accurate in that it does come from a point of judgment that I'm trying to demonstrate something better. I don't know.
Well, but it, what if there is no better? What if there's just what you are?
Well, one of the things that wears you down, Ephraim, is comparison. If you compare how you are to an idea of how you should be, you compare how you are to other people, sometimes you will come in your mind's estimation on the upside. Sometimes you'll come in your mind's estimation on the downside, but neither one of those lead to vitality because
you're working on yourself.
Do we mention? Didn't say,
no, I don't think we said that yet.
We do finish each other's
That's
sentences.
Right.
That was a good finish to that sentence. I
liked
it. It was even better than what I might have come up with.
It was so seamless. I don't think I even noticed it.
Right.
Good.
Well, so the thing is this, man, it's about living your life, not trying to live your life the right way. Try to live your life the right way. Well, there were all kinds of rules, depending which religion you were born into, which school you went to, where you learned how to be you. And so, you know, every religion has its own set of rules. Every culture has its own set of rules. What rules are going to govern your life, or do you need rules? Wouldn't it be wild if you could step into the moment of your life, look and see what's needed and wanted, and do that, rather than try to decide how to get your life to turn out the way you think it would be better? And then, man, you're trying to manage how your child
turns out.
Oh, my God. That's a huge burden. Because they turn out the way they want to,
yeah,
regardless of what you tell them.
And I see two things. Certainly, you as a parent, and most parents want what's best for the child. They want the child to have the opportunities in life. They want them to be healthy. They want them to do well.
They
want
them to be
love.
Happy. And that may be the single worst want you can have for your child.
Because you know how that is. You yourself are not sustainably happy.
And if you want your kid to be happy, they'll be unhappy to get your attention.
Yep, I believe that.
How was that? That was all
very good. I really see that.
Yeah.
What are you working on, Ephraim?
Oh, no, I would I couldn't quite catch what you said at the end there, but no, I definitely.
If you want them to be happy, they won't to get your attention. That's what I said.
I can totally see that. Well, I love it, so.
Excellent.
So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
And we hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll see you next Monday or Wednesday.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfection. Excellent. Well,
About that time.
It is about that time to go to a break. So we have several people holding. We'll meet with them when we come back. So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yeah, welcome back to Being.
You know, we're moving around to the time of year where we're getting close to our Costa Rica adventures in 2018. And this is a shout out to all those of you who have registered to come with us. We're really excited that you are going to be a part of this adventure. The next weekend seminar we have coming up, we have a couple coming up in the New York City area. One is the Freedom to Breathe Art of Being a Healer weekend, December 1st through 3rd. And then step up, jump in, let's go. And that's the 12th, 13th, and 14th
of January.
Both of those are Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
In Hamburg, Germany, we're doing the Freedom to Breathe on March 22nd. And
Also, Step Up, Jump In, Let's Go, March 23rd through 25th. We're letting you know that now because the early registration discount for those of you who want to join us in Hamburg is about to expire. So if you're going to be coming to those courses and want a deal, you should register before the 12th of December. I like deals. Bargains are good.
Okay.
All right, let's take our next caller.
Yeah.
Miss Yuta.
Hi there. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Shia.
Hi. Where are you?
I'm calling in from Germany, from Hanover in Germany.
Excellent.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm quite excited to call in today. The topic of revitalization, rejuvenating, it reminded me of how I'm feeling after doing workshops with you, because afterwards I feel so alive, so more alive, and it's getting more and more and more.
I really love it because you just reminded me of what it takes to rejuvenate. See, what we do in weekends is facilitate your being in the current moment of your life for 3 consecutive days or 2.5 days, Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday. And that is revitalizing. What wears you down is worrying about a future that hasn't gotten here yet. See, when you're in the present moment of your life, you're not off in the future worrying about how it's going to turn out. You're where you are, living your life directly, and as much as possible, living your life as though it's your idea what you're doing, not as if it's been imposed upon you from someone else.
That's so true. Yeah, and what I discovered is sometimes that I'm going home from workshops, and I feel very good, in earlier workshops, it was like I was so energized and I was so upfront and smiling and so, but now there's something else which is a calmness that I'm far more relaxed.
Yes. I think part of the reason you're relaxed is you don't have the brakes on as much anymore. It used to be you second guessed everything and you had all this energy you were holding back. And so you would come, you'd get into real time, and then you'd have this energy burst that didn't quite know what to do with itself. And now you still have that energy burst, but there's something already integrated into the way you're living your life. And part of how I know it is you came to our last course that we did in Hamburg. And just a couple weeks later, we were doing a course in New York City, and you realized you wanted to come. And at the last minute, you booked a flight and came. So there wasn't like this big gap between you having the impulse or the recognition that you wanted to do something and actuating that. And I imagine that example I gave is just a little slice of how you're approaching your life everywhere, not just in regards to our seminars.
That's so true. I did see that, but not in full. It's so true.
Because when you're second guessing yourself and doubting your choices and talking to yourself back and forth about, is this the right one? Should I do it? It really wears you out.
And I was so used to doing that.
Well, most of us are. Most of us don't trust things. And luckily, in our community, we have people that are worth listening to. I mean, recently, Shai and I set up to lease a new car, and our car insurance company does not cover this type of car. So I started researching what would have the best rates. And at some point, making a few dollars less on a rate for a year, I might actually still be able to go out there and research and find one. But the amount of time I spend on it when I found a perfectly good company giving me a perfectly good rate it would wear me down, eat my time. I wouldn't get things done. So when Shai said, that's enough, that you found it, this is perfectly good, being able to hear him and realize that it was accurate saved me from wearing myself out.
I have one question.
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
Recently, I had some physical challenges when I went running, and I like to run because it gets my head clear. I get outside, I get fresh air, and so on. And I sometimes hurt myself or got hurt, so I needed to go to the doctor. And I have challenges when it's taking longer to cool down, do nothing, and I'm really when I do that, I'm picking on myself to see, well, why did that happen? I couldn't do anything against it, but it's challenging for me.
Hey, you know something, Muta? A couple of weeks ago, I got into splitting wood with a splitting maul, you know, splitting firewood, and I felt great, you know? And then about a week later, my shoulder started hurting, my left shoulder. And then a little bit after that, my right shoulder started hurting. And I realized that, you know, I do things to my body that my body may not like, but it felt good at the time. I didn't do anything wrong. It's just that there are consequences to running, as there are to walking, as there are to bicycling. You can find some exercise that will give you a sense of being worked out without hurting yourself. And, you know, I suggest that you look for something that will be easier on your knee, was it?
No, it's not the knee. It's the side of my thigh, and the doctor said it might be that I'm doing moves which are not good for me, not running exactly, but running the wrong way.
Okay, well.
Well, you know those things. Sometimes they just take extra sorting out.
And you know something else? As you get older, expect to have it more often. Because your body gets less resilient.
The other thing, too, is, as you said, there may be some types of stretches in the warm down that part of your run that you may not be doing because you're like, okay, that's it. I did the exercise. On to the next thing. Rather than recognizing if you're going to exercise, it probably should be a holistic approach. And additionally, there is something that Shai just said that you pretty quickly went, no, it's not the run, it's not the knee. Of course, it wasn't the knee if it's not the knee. But I don't know if you want to look at this aspect because it may not be convenient. He was talking about how good it felt to do that activity at the time of doing that activity. And for myself, with Pilates, I've come to recognize that if I'm doing a stretch, for instance, or a particular movement, it feels really good, chances are I'm going to pay for that in the next days. So I have come to recognize to stop short of that, wow, I'm really in there now feeling good portion of the stretch, because usually I actually am inadvertently damaging something. And I can get stronger and more flexible without having to have to pay for it afterwards, I've come to discover, if I don't go to that place where I'm having a conversation with myself about how good it feels. It may not be the same for you. That's just something that I've noticed. One of the things that Shai and I have gotten very good about is an anthropological approach, which is noticing all aspects non-judgmentally, which includes when I have that conversation, I almost always have a downside afterwards.
I hope that answered your question.
It did, but she didn't like it.
Ah.
You know, and I'll tell you something. Not liking it is one of the things that keeps something around. You know, I injured my foot the 1st of July. And I was having a lot of issues with this pain in my foot. I got up in the middle of the night, thought I was stepping down a step, and I actually stepped down two onto a brick surface. And it was dark, and I was bleary, and I hurt myself. And I was so frustrated that it wasn't healing faster. And I was talking about it with someone the other day, and Chai said, "When did you do it?" And I said, "July 1st. He said, "Oh, well, it'll probably take till July 1st until it heals. That's just
July 1st of next year.
That's how it happens." And I realized that I was complaining to myself about it. I was focusing on it. I didn't like it. I had attention on it. When I simply let go of that conversation, my foot, in my experience, healed 90-95% in that instant. There's a little bit of a sensation now and again since then, but it's
mostly
nothing.
Gone.
It's mostly gone. My conversation about it kept it in place.
Wow. Hey, yeah. We've got another caller waiting. Want to thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, let's take Mr. Rubin.
Eric.
Oops, I got your last name on there, so you better be good because we got first and last here.
Hi, yes, this is Eric. I'm calling from New York in my office, New York City.
Excellent. Nice to have you on the show. Sorry for outing you.
Oh, that's fine, thanks. So I thought about this topic, and I have my own businesses. Actually, two. I'm an attorney with my own law office, and I'm a literary agent with my own agency. And there are times when I have the thought that I'm too busy, and that I should have time off, or I should be taking vacations. But I also know that when I have had time off, not surprisingly, my thoughts go to my businesses or my work, and it's not relaxing. And
I have a suggestion. When you're at work,
yes,
think about work. Not resisting doing it, but doing it like it's on vacation, like it's a sport, like it's something you have fun with.
Well, that's a cool idea.
Because I'm clear that if your work is tiring to you, there's got to be some kind of resistance, unless, of course, you dig ditches for a living.
No, I'm fortunate I am not digging ditches.
That's good exercise. I was once a gold digger, so I dug ditches.
Really?
So, yeah. I have no prejudices against grave diggers because I used to do it in an earlier life.
Wow.
You know,
well,
the other
no,
thing,
very-
Eric, I'm pretty clear that you have far more vacations than you know, but they don't appear to your mind as vacations. As in, I know that you went with your wife to help your mother-in-law renovate her apartment because your mother-in-law is
elderly,
advancing in age, and she needed the help. But that was a vacation, but in your mind, you didn't hold it as such.
Most people need vacations when they come back from a vacation because it's not restful.
Right. And you're right. I didn't hold it as a vacation. And there were times when it was actually fun, and there were times when I would say it didn't meet my preferences. Even things
really,
that if you had said to me, do this, and I would have had the preconceived notion that that's not something I would quote-unquote do on vacation, like clean a carpet with one of those carpet cleaning machines. I actually enjoyed doing that at 10 at night. I felt like it was a really cool thing to do. I saw immediate results of having a dirty carpet become a clean carpet. And frankly, there was a childlike quality about doing it. That was delight. Fun, but I didn't. What's that?
Delight. And I'm going to delight taking a break right now. Can you come back with us?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
We'll be back with Eric, so come on back. And don't miss being here.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here.
Just a reminder that next Monday, the 27th, is our next Monday Night Alive in New York City, and the next international conference call is on Tuesday, December 12th. If you haven't read any of our books, they're wonderful, and they are also great gifts. Our calendar for 2018 should be coming out soon also, and it's a great holiday gift as well. You can find out all about our seminars.
All the pictures in the calendar were taken by my wonderful award-winning calendar-producing wife.
That's me.
Okay.
You can find everything on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com.
I want to thank our listeners.
Today's shout out are to our listeners in South Africa,
the Ukraine,
the United States,
Germany,
China,
Thailand,
Costa Rica,
Israel,
and Malaysia. Wherever you're listening from, thank you. And if you love it, share the show.
That's right.
All right, we are talking to Mr. Eric. You know, you could go about treating work as if it's your vacation time, and you could go about your vacations as if you're a professional at it.
A professional vacationer.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you're really good at it.
Ah.
Like you know what you're doing?
Well, you know, you could do them both the same way. And that is, do them as if God told you to. As if this voice came down from heavens and said, Eric, man, you're doing exactly what I wish you would do right now.
Yeah, get out that legal pad and doodle on it.
You guys know exactly what will work for me. I really appreciate that. That's such a great image and thought. And I don't know why, but it really tickles me. And I'm excited about that. That's a great idea.
Well, you have rules of behavior that you don't fit because you think you should be doing other things other than what you're doing. But the reality is that you should only be doing what you're doing because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when I get into a shower, I'm aware of how good the water feels and how great the soap in my hair feels, for instance. But my mind is still busy at first. What I've come to realize is that when I get into a shower, as an example, I'm often not only washing off the dirt of the day or the day before or however long it's been, but I'm also giving myself license to wash away any attachments I have to anything that's outside this time frame and outside this moment. And I have a feeling you don't give yourself license to do that on a regular basis. So when you step out of your office building and you're walking down the street, whether it's to the subway home or whether it's to meet your wife or whether it's to have lunch, you chances are still working on those things that you were involved in the office or those things you're going to do when you get home. And you do one of two things. You either, when you notice that, judge yourself for doing that, or rather than recognize that's just part of the grime on you from your day, and taking a breath and letting it go and connecting with where you are. So in my case, I'm feeling the water and feeling the soap.
Yeah, that's accurate. And, you know, downtown, there's a lot of interesting tourists who come to the city who are fun to watch them be excited. There's also a lot of cool buildings here and sights to see, even just walking to and from certain things. I can see what you're saying, but I don't.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
License.
People spend a lot of money to come visit where you walk every day.
And where you walk every day, you don't even see your surroundings frequently because you're busy in your thoughts getting somewhere or doing something that you're not doing.
Yes.
You know, you're not currently working on that, yet you're thinking about it.
Right.
So you miss the current moment of your life for some idea you have of what would be better.
Right. Right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
You know, one last thing.
Great.
Eric, I have a feeling we've tossed out a few ideas today for you and opened some ideas. But the main thing is about being kind to yourself about what you see, whether it's that you're preoccupied or yes, because somehow I have a feeling one of the things that erodes your sense of yourself the most is not simply when you notice things about yourself, but when whatever it is that you're noticing slots into the judgment system that's in place. And then if you find it's slotted into the judgment system, you judge yourself for judging yourself rather than recognizing that's pretty normal. And it's like, hey, look, I'm judging myself here. At some point, there's a place for neutrality. And if you can find it, life's going to be a whole lot easier.
Thank you. Thanks. I really appreciate that. I appreciate both of you very much.
Well, thank you.
Awesome to call in today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for giving of yourself to all the listeners.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Excellent.
Okay. Hey, we have another call.
Let's take her. Renata, where are you calling in from?
Hello, I'm calling in from Basel, Switzerland.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, nice to hear you too. I just realized how much I can feel how much I like you too.
Yeah, sweet.
You know, it's nice.
It's mutual.
When you said Renata from
Basel,
Basel, Switzerland, I just got this warmth and smile. So your liking is coming through. Your heart is coming through. It's so nice to hear you.
That's nice. So I was very caught by this topic from this show, because I always catch myself again how I'm not really in the current moment in my work, and that wears me out somehow.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a music teacher at elementary school with the 7 and 8 year old kids.
Uh-huh.
So with very young kids.
Right.
I have to teach them the basics of music. Mm-hmm. And I do it. I like doing it, and I think I do it playfully and how the kids are liking it. But always I have kids that don't like my lessons, and this is hard for me.
Oh, part of why they don't like your lessons is because of things that have nothing to do with you.
Mm.
If you don't personalize that, you might be able to unlock the code of those children a whole lot faster. If you think it has to do with how you're teaching, it'll be harder.
You know, it might have to do with their home life. It may have to do with the way they relate to their parents.
You know, breathing into the, I think. You know, when I was in fifth grade, in grade school, my family was going through a pretty tumultuous time, and music was my favorite subject, although I wasn't doing well in that at that point. And it was really had nothing to do with my teacher or anything else. It was my inability to process everything that was happening in my life at that time. And it was also my way of getting attention both in school and at home.
Okay, yeah, that's very helpful if you say that. That it's not, yeah, it's not related to what I'm doing with the kids or to me or, yeah.
Well, you can't make a blanket statement like it's not related to what I'm doing or my teaching, because that may have something to do with it. But at the same time, I think more you've got to take into account the life circumstances of the kids you're teaching, and if there is any kind of upset happening at home, they will have to bring it with them as they express themselves in classes. You may want to ask other teachers that have these children how they do in those other classes.
Do you know the other thing?
That sounds like a good idea.
Good. I think it's also a perfect time to talk about those three principles of instantaneous transformation, because we work with a lot of educators. And if there's anything you resist, it dominates your experience, it persists, it grows stronger. So if there's a child who's not necessarily seemingly enjoying your class or getting it, if you resist them or resist that fact, they become your class.
Well,
for you
know, that's very interesting that you say that, Ariel, because last Monday night in New York, there was one fellow who came as a guest. He had never been there before, and he kept on getting engaged in his telephone, his mobile, rather than listen to what people were saying. And I found myself, even though I know better, bringing attention to him rather than taking care of everybody else in the room. And of course, I adjusted, but it was a very, very strong pull to go after him as the problem.
And it sometimes is a request. You know, second principle is your classroom is happening perfectly. It's happening exactly as it is. And third principle, anything you see without judging, and that means judging you or judging the child, completes itself. Meaning, at some point, Shia just said, hey, put down your telephone. And he looked up. He put it down. After the evening was over, he came up and said, hey, thanks for calling me out. I got lost. So when Shia addressed it with this gentleman, not only did he stop as a disruption, Shia did it in such a way that the man was not
embarrassed,
or he actually felt enlivened as an outcome.
So there may be something that you can do with this particular child that you're talking about that you might want to bring attention to him before he acts out and demands that attention. What I'm saying is you might just get interested in him at the beginning of the class and find out whether he understands you.
You know, we've actually coached a high school and a high school principal and a lot of the teachers there in the Bronx, and that is one thing, principal, that they have added to look at the kids who tend to call for attention with their disciplinary behaviors and give them attention before it's requested. And they have much less challenges in classes.
Because there's another thing that you could do, and that's talk with your children about listening.
Okay.
About truly listening, because that will get them engaged.
You know, we recently did a weekend seminar here in New York City, and it was very interesting to me because we worked very intensively all weekend, and the majority of the work, quote, and I'm putting that in quotes, was listening to the participants. And interestingly enough, I came out rejuvenated because that got me fully engaged with my environment rather than thinking about whether or not I wanted to. What you thinking about?
I just couldn't hear you for a little moment, so I'm a bit lost at the moment.
Ah, sorry. There have been a few technical difficulties today. I am sure that when you hear it back, hopefully you'll be able to hear it. What we're saying is that when you really listen or find another way to fully engage with whatever you're doing, you tend to get rejuvenated. And your kids will probably tend to get rejuvenated also.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you for calling in. We've got to go. The time has run out of our hourglass.
Really a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Renata, you're very, very welcome. We are back next week. If you want to find out more about any of the things that we offer, go to transformationmadeeasy.com. You can even sign up for our email newsletter. Next week's show is, but you'll have to tune in to find out what that's about.
Okay.
We'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.